Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I don't sound quite like I usually do. I'm a little gunked up today, but all is well. We will continue on because you can hear everything, I hope, through the nasally sounds. It's going to be one of those days, but my guests are fabulous today. I've already told them that I'm going to be a little off on the sound, but, you know, they're fine with it, and these are great, great interviews. So first, let's get Terry Atkinson on because, oh, I just love Terry. You love Terry. Her pattern company is Atkinson Designs, and you know her from her many books and patterns that are out on the marketplace and the work she does with American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. So hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm very good, Pat. I think I'm better than you are today.
Yeah, I think you sound much, much better than me. But, oh, my goodness. So, Terry, you know, I haven't talked to you for, what, a couple months since we were at market?
Mm-hmm.
For those people who don't, you know your background, would you tell me a little bit about how you found quilting and how you sort of, picked this path in your life?
Well, this has kind of been an accidental path for me. I have always, always loved sewing. And as I was growing up, in order for my mom to let me touch her featherweight, she made me take a sewing class, which was a really smart thing. Yeah. So I used to make all my doll clothes and all sorts of clothing for myself on that featherweight all through high school. And I ended up in college for home economics education. And yeah. I taught home ec for 4 years. And when I was teaching home ec, I taught clothing and child development, no foods. But I had a class called Creative Fibers, and that was my favorite. And I taught, needlepoint and quilting and macrame.
Oh, really?
All sorts of fun, creative things.
Oh, that's cool. Kind
of when I started quilting.
That is really cool. I didn't know my high school didn't have that sort of topic. Did you make that up, the coursework, or was it?
No, I actually replaced someone that had come up with it, and I split it into two classes because there were just too many fun things to fit into one class. So I ended up with Creative Fibers and Textile Arts because I wanted to add in quilting and cross stitch, and we just did everything.
So now on this featherweight, I didn't know that you had started on a featherweight. That's pretty fascinating. Do you still have it?
I do. My mom gave it to me, and it's just down here in my sewing room, and it's my little prized baby.
Do you still sew on it some?
I do. Sometimes I'll take it with me when I go because it's so lightweight and it's real easy to take with. Mm-hmm. When I'm at home, I usually sew on an industrial machine because I do kind of have a lead foot, and I like to go really fast.
I love those industrial machines. I don't have one, but I'm fascinated by them.
It took a little while to get the hang of it. Actually, a friend of mine had me put a sponge behind it so I could start out a little bit slower, and the foot pedal couldn't go all the way down lickety-split. But now I just go like mad.
And does that have a bigger throat in it, too, the industrial machine?
It does.
Mm-hmm. And it only does single stitch. Is that the kind that you have?
Yep, it goes forward and backward, and that's all it does. But really, for quilting, that's all you need.
Yeah, so you're not doing your free motion on there, are you?
I have, but it's not real easy to set up. You have to, put a different throat plate on and go in there with a screwdriver and adjust the feed dogs, which I don't, it's too much like work.
Yeah, adjusting the feed dogs. That would be, you get out another machine.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about how you decided to have a business of quilting, and not only that, it's a family business. Tell me a little bit about it. Yeah.
I started out teaching quilting classes at several of the local quilt shops, and people started asking for my handouts.
Oh.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, I think we bumped a button. Anyway, people were asking for my handouts. If they were snowbirds and heading south for the winter, they wanted to be able to make the projects even if they couldn't be here for class. So I started doing patterns for them. And then the shops where I taught would buy the patterns, and after a while, one of the shop owners said, you know, Terry, it would be a lot easier if your patterns were in with a distributor, because then I wouldn't have to write so many checks at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And so we approached one of the smaller distributors, and they picked us up right away, and shortly after that, Quilt Market was here in Minneapolis. And so I exhibited at Quilt Market, and a couple of the other big distributors picked me up, and it kind of grew from there. And when my son was in fourth grade, every day he had to watch Bill Nye the Science Guy on TV for part of his homework. And I used to sit with him and bag patterns during Bill Nye. Yeah, we weren't doing a whole lot of volume back then. And after a while, it got to be, so I was shipping orders all day, and about 10 to 3, I finally could take a breath and sit down and sew, and the school bus came home at 3 o'clock, so that was like 10 minutes of sewing time.
Yeah, you can't get much done, can you?
No, you can't get much done, and I spent a lot of nights up until the wee hours because, you know, you have to have some time to sew. And that's when Kirk decided to quit his job and start working with me.
And so
he does all the business end of everything, what I call the boring parts of the business.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. The accounting and packing and stuff, huh?
Oh, he does all the accounting. He orders all the bags, all the patterns. He answers the phone, and he's actually the one when the shop owners call in, he's the one that they talk to because he takes all the orders and he gets them all ready to ship. And I stay over on my side of the room, and I just play with fabric.
Do you actually work in the same room?
We do. We work kind of in the downstairs family room area of our home, and we have our desks back to back, and that's kind of the divider between the office and the sewing.
I work with my husband also, Terry, but he has to work on a different floor.
We work together, if you want to call it that. When there's something that neither of us wants to do, he'll kind of shove it over the line onto my desk, and then I'll, when he's not looking, I'll shove it back over the line onto his desk.
Well, I don't know if I could even be that close. I would have to, it's like, oh, that's crazy. You must have very similar work styles.
Oh, not at all.
No?
Actually, what works out really well is he's a morning person and I'm a night person. So really in the morning, there's not a lot of action over in the sewing room. But later on, when he's finished for the day, UPS comes at 3 o'clock, and then, you know, he's not doing as much after they pick up everything. And that's when I get going. And in the evening, too, is when I'm going to town with all my sewing and all of my computer work.
So you have a little bit of, you both have your own space in there, you know, time by yourself.
Yep, we do. We do.
Oh. How neat. Now, do your children also work in your business?
Well, they used to help when they were little. We used to, Megan used to watch cartoons, and we would pay her a penny a bag to open the pattern bag when she was little. And they have helped over the years doing things like bagging patterns. And they come to market, and they help in the market booth. And they're both adults now. Megan's 22 and Derek 26. So they're off on their own lives and not available.
Yeah, no more cheap labor, huh?
No more cheap child labor. Oh, darn.
They won't open those bags for a penny apiece anymore.
Well, now they come already open, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We got out of doing that, so that's not a bad thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, who needs to spend time doing that? So Terry, let's talk about a pattern that, you know, I hope you still like to talk about this pattern because everybody, I think every quilter owns one and possibly more than one of your Yellow Brick Road pattern.
And, that is always a favorite.
Yes. You know, I think, Terry, when you brought that pattern out, it was so unique at the time and such an eye-opener for people with the way that they could play with their fabric and not really so much worry about structured pattern design. Did you get that feeling when you were putting it out there for the first time?
Yeah, it's just kind of a fun thing. I based the idea on an old traditional block called Becky's Nine Patch. And Becky's Nine Patch is a quilt square that has all different size and shape rectangles in it. Mm-hmm. And so Yellow Brick Road doesn't really look like that. I just got mm-hmm. the idea from that mm-hmm. because I wanted Yellow Brick Road to be figured out so that you could strip piece everything and not have to cut all those little individual patches to put together.
Oh, yeah.
And I figured the measurements out so that it would go with the strips that you get from Fat Quarters. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that people tell us all the time is they love the fact that there's no fabric left over when you're done. Mm-hmm. It uses everything mm-hmm. up.
Yeah, that's excellent. People, you know, who wants these little bitty things? You just feel wasteful if you don't use them or keep them. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, your patterns, you have a very sort of unique voice to your pattern writing, the style of how your directions are. Why don't you tell people a little bit about how you approach your pattern writing?
Well, I will draw the design out and make a block and see, you know, how what the measurements need to be and how that needs to go together. Mm-hmm. And then I will type it into the computer, and then I make another block to see if I type the directions in correctly, which most often I have a bunch of mistakes.
Oh.
And so that's the first round. And then after that, then I break it down into steps and logically how do I want to put it together. Mm-hmm. Then I write the actual sewing instructions and we test it again. And one of the things that I do is as I'm testing it, I look at the diagram and how I have the pieces in the diagram is how they would be when you go to sew them. Because most people make mistakes when they have to turn it around or flip it over on the way to the sewing machine. And so
clever.
We kind of try and get that thing all figured out. And then I always mm-hmm. have a test class or sometimes two or three test classes depending mm-hmm. on how the instructions go. And the thing that I find the most interesting is when I go into a test class, I have the pattern done, or so I think it's done, and mm-hmm. in my mind, there's one or two steps that I really want to see if they understand those steps. Mm-hmm. And what always happens is they breeze through the ones that I think they're not going to get, and then the ones that I thought were real easy is where they get stuck.
Cool. Hey, Terry, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And we're going to come back and talk a bit about, I want to talk about what inspires Terry and some of the new stuff she's doing, including some zipper talk. So we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
What other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here talking with Terry Atkinson. And we're just discussing all kinds of quilty good things. So, Terry, when you go out into the world, you know, some of your quilts must be inspired by things that you run into or see. You know, how does that work for you?
I absolutely get all sorts of ideas in the strangest places. One of our quilts, when we were at the Mall of America, I was in the bathroom, and the tile floor kind of looked good to me. And
this is cracking
so
me
I
up,
always
you know.
Have a. Pardon me?
This is cracking me up. You're getting inspiration from the bathroom tiles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I always have a little graph paper pad in my purse, and I'm always sketching. One of the times when we went out to Boston, we were driving in traffic, and there was a building with interesting windows, and so I wanted to take a picture of it, and the light turned green, and we had to go around the block like three times before I actually got a picture of the building, and that one turned into our four-square farmhouse pattern.
Ah.
So I do get all sorts of good ideas.
Yeah, I just love that. I mean, I think it's fun when it just sort of, does it just sort of pop into your head?
It does. It just sort of happens. It just, you know, not like if I'm looking for something, I would never find a pattern idea.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to be like, I'll go on vacation. People say, well, are you inspired by being in the Caribbean? I'm like, well, no, I was just relaxing. You know, maybe something might happen, but, you know, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, I was on vacation.
Exactly. Well, and I think, too, when you're relaxed, you see things more. I went to a storage shed that we rent, that we've rented for 2 years, and the other day I went there, and the business next door has flying geese on their sign. I never saw them. Because you're always in a hurry when you're running around home, but when you're on vacation, you're just relaxed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I want to tell people they can go out to our website, allpeoplequilt.com, and put Terry Atkinson's name in the search. And there's a little instructor bio for Terry. And then also, Terry, you have a really adorable Rickrack mini purse that we have online. And this would be a good segue because I see a zipper on the mini purse.
Absolutely.
So tell me about your new zipper love, or you've had it for a little while now, but you're continuing.
We've had it for a little while, and we actually started selling zippers to the quilt shops because I could never find the ones that I wanted. So I went and looked for them and found them, and now that they're available for everybody. And we have 36 colors of zippers, which, you know, to a quilter, you got to have the right color before you can do anything.
Right, right.
We're not going to put a black zipper on everything. We need to have fun colors.
Yeah. So you had to design like a whole color palette of zippers that would work for, you know, quilters. That was a big job.
Mm-hmm. And it involved shopping for fabric. No, we had to have fabric to match those zippers to.
Yeah, so that's called research, isn't it?
Called research. That's what we tell Kirk anyway, and that's what we have him believe. But it's surprising to me since we got into this whole zipper thing to find out how many people don't want to do zippers because they had a bad experience in high school or a long time ago putting a zipper in a skirt and the skirt didn't fit and the zipper didn't lay flat and so they don't want to do a zipper again. And it's been really fun to find all sorts of easy ways to put zippers in. What we do with our bags is we have figured out a couple different ways that work really well so that the whole time you're sewing on the zipper, it's flat.
Oh, that's good. But you still have to use a zipper foot?
You can use a zipper foot if you have a good zipper foot. Many of the newer machines, especially the little machines, have a zipper foot that kind of gets in your way. And what I suggest to people is they use the foot that they like the best. It works just as well to take your zigzag foot or your all-purpose foot, move the needle way over to the left, and then you can stitch right along the zipper teeth just like you would if you had a zipper foot on. That seems to be a little bit less intimidating than having to have a special foot.
Right. You know, and I think that's it. A lot of times, if you could just use your own foot, that you're, you know, there's one less thing you have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, the other thing with zippers is when you're sewing a quilt, you want to have an accurate quarter-inch seam. When you're sewing a zipper, it really doesn't matter. If you sew a little closer to the teeth, less of the zipper tape shows. If you sew mm-hmm. a little further away, a little more zipper tape shows, and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter either way.
So what kind of length of zipper are quilters generally using, or I guess what you use for your projects?
We use a 14-inch zipper for everything, and then we just trim it down to the size that you need for the project that you're working on. Mm-hmm. I think one of the frustrations that people used to have is thinking if you have to have a certain size zipper, then you never have the one you need. But if you plan on just having your zipper be a little longer and trimming it down, then you always have the one you need.
So it's not hard to trim the zipper? I don't think I've ever done that.
Nope, you can cut right across those teeth.
You just cut across them?
You just cut across them. The teeth are, it's a polyester coil, so it's not going to hurt your scissors. And it just, you just snip right across there. And the other thing that people are afraid to do that's really easy is you sew right across there too.
Yeah, yeah. And because of the material of these zippers, the sewing's fine.
It is. And when we cut our zippers down to size, either we catch that end in the seam allowance so that it's finished off, or sometimes we'll put a little binding on each end of the zipper, and that gives it a really nice finish.
Ah, well, the little pattern that you have out on All People Quilt, the Rick Rack Mini Purse, that would be a fun one, don't you think, for people to try?
Absolutely. It's a great way to begin. What's neat about that pattern is the zipper is longer, so the whole time you're sewing the zipper onto the purse, the zipper pull is out of your way, and you don't have to sew next to the zipper pull.
Ah, so
and
you have
that's
all
one
these
of the other
tricks.
Things that makes it really easy.
Super tricks. So are you teaching this anywhere? You know, do you just teach locally, Terry, or are you traveling to teach?
You know, I really don't travel to teach because it takes so much time to do the patterns. About the only classes I do are when we do our test classes.
Oh, okay. And that's locally to you.
And that's locally, right. There's a number of local shops that are happy to gather up some people to test.
So if somebody really wanted to come be a tester, they could email you and maybe come to the local shop when they do that?
Yep. And usually we don't test the patterns until they're completely finished and we've gone through all of our testing. So it's one of those things where we don't plan ahead and say, okay, on January 15th we're going to test. We wait until it's done, and then like we'll give them maybe a week or two notice. So it's kind of an impromptu thing.
Ah, okay. So that's good for people to know, just in case somebody, you know, was going to be in the area, you know, they could check it out. And you have, let me just tell people, your website is AtkinsonDesigns.com.
AtkinsonDesigns.com.
Very good. She's got all kinds of stuff, and also how to go to her blog there, so you can go over there. Now, tell me about your quilt club. You have a fun club.
We do. It's called Groovy Girls, and it's offered at quilt shops all over the place. We have them all over the United States. And the Groovy Girls Club is a monthly meeting, and we have a pattern each month for the Groovy Girl members, and it's all little fun projects. We have, you know, gifts for your friends, entertaining, all sorts of things, napkins, aprons, little gift bags. Pillows.
Oh, okay. Sort of very doable projects then. Not
very
like
doable projects. Yeah. Things that you can actually get done and not have an unfinished torture hanging over your head.
I know. Sometimes you get involved in things and you just don't have time to finish them because they become such a big project. So what are you personally working on right now? Are you working on anything fun?
I am working on all sorts of fun things for Christmas.
Ah.
I am doing some knitting, which every once in a while I get bitten by the knitting bug.
Ah.
And I'm making hats and mittens and scarves, all sorts of things we need in Minnesota because it gets so darn cold. And we're also working on some quilts to donate to a homeless shelter, which is interesting because we started out just wanting to make something to give where they need it, but also mm-hmm. to kind of clean out our extra fabric. Mm-hmm. And in the process, we're getting some really good pattern ideas.
Ah, so you're sort of playing around with some ideas, and then these are like prototypes that you'll... Mm-hmm. You know, oh, that's a good way to do it. You know,
well, people, and that was kind of a surprise. We were thinking, well, we'll just yeah. goof off and yeah. sew some fun stuff, and now it's turning into patterns.
Ah, so do you have people who work with you every day besides your husband? I mean, do you have other staff that you'll come in and help you test stuff out, or you do that in just a different way?
We have a couple people that we can send some sewing to that they can test the patterns for us.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so we don't have, actually, because we're in our home, we really don't have
right.
employees or a business or,
yeah.
well, I mean, because
right.
we do have a business, but
right.
it's
right.
not like what you would expect. We've had people, when Market was in Minneapolis, I had these two mm-hmm. gals stop by because our address was on the pattern, and they thought we'd have a shop.
Right,
and
right.
we were setting our Market booth up in the garage,
oh.
and they came in and they thought that was our shop.
Oh, how
funny. But really, it was just our garage.
Right. Yeah, I get phone calls, too, that or emails, usually, asking if they can come to my store. So, yeah, no.
Well, and we actually have two quilt shops in Elk River, and so people think that those are my shops, but I really, they're not my shops. I like to shop there, but they're not mine.
That's right. You can send them over there. So, just a sort of quick here at the end, what do you do when you need a jump start, Terry?
I will take a class in something totally different. This year I've taken two glass fusing classes, and I love going to archivers or scrapbooking stores,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just starting knitting on these fun little projects that I'm working on. I'm getting all sorts of color ideas because, you know, it's all about color.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all, you know, it is a good thing to work. I like to do that too, work outside of my normal mode
mm-hmm.
when I want to get some creativity going, you know, something new.
Yeah, something new and something fun.
Yeah. So in like 15 seconds, what do you have a tell us your favorite color. Let's do that.
Oh, my favorite color is turquoise. That's a no-brainer. One of the walls in my living room is painted turquoise, and my little cheater glasses are turquoise, and it's amazing how many of my clothes those glasses match.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool. Well, Terry, this has been wonderful. We've been talking to Terry Atkinson of Atkinson Designs. Thanks for being here.
Well, Pat, thanks so much for having me on your show. This has been really fun.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll see you in the spring, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Everybody hang on. We'll be right back with Penny McMorris from Electric Quilt. This is your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Wasn't that fun talking to Terry and learning how, you know, she does things? I always love that when I'm talking to people. I'll learn a little bit more about them. So I am really, really excited to have Penny McMorris on, because not only is Penny one of the founders of the software, you know, program Electric Quilt, which a lot of you, you know and love, but she has done, you know, so much more than just Electric Quilt. And I've been, I've known of Penny ever since I started quilting for things she did prior. And so I want to talk about that with her and talk about Electric Quilt. So hi, Penny. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I've been looking forward to this. I wish I could flatter you with a little Vicks vapor rub.
I know. Don't I sound really horrid? That's okay.
You're okay. I just hope that tonight you feel better and can gargle and
that. Yes, I don't feel as bad as I sound, so that's always the good thing. At least I have a voice, you know?
Totally. Totally.
So, Penny, you know, you started out quilting a little while ago, well, before Electric Quilt. Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit about how you got into quilting, because I just find it totally, totally fascinating. You have done some really rocking stuff.
Thank you. I was a young mother in a small town in Bowling Green, and I was from a small town, Waukesha, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and I've always wanted to live in a big town. So when you're from mm-hmm. the Midwest, sometimes you try to see what's happening in other parts of the country by getting mm-hmm. magazines and reading about it. My mom would pass mm-hmm. along her Vogue, her House and Garden magazines, and I mm-hmm. read them, and I started noticing quilts. Diana Vreeland had the editor of Vogue had noticed Mountain Artisans and mm-hmm. started promoting quilts. It was the time of swinging London, and you'd start to see these cool patchwork coats on these beautiful girls with long hair, and mm-hmm. so it just really intrigued me because mm-hmm. it was new. Quilts had mm-hmm. really been forgotten. They were still being made, but mm-hmm. it was kind of considered a, sorry to use the phrase, but an old lady's art form from the 30s and 40s.
Yeah,
and there weren't quilts in my family, so it looked new and fresh, and it was the mm-hmm. Return to earth crafting movement, do-it-yourself time of the 60s. And so ooh. That's what got me started. I just loved the picks.
So did you ever get to the big city then when you were, you know,
no,
you were steady?
It was all vicarious, all reading. I never got to it. What the closest I got to seeing that landmark 1971 exhibition at the Whitney mm-hmm. Museum that was the mm-hmm. Jonathan Holstein collection yeah. was the book he put out. And I just literally pored over it. I would read it and reread it. I'd have friends over for tea that weren't the least bit interested in quilts. And they would sit with me while we talked about, mm-hmm. oh, look at how the gold of that brings mm-hmm. out and in the turquoise of this border. I didn't know how things were made, or I didn't know mm-hmm. any of the terms, but I did, I'd had enough art history that mm-hmm. I was kind of developing an eye, and then I did go into art history, believe it or not, mm-hmm. specifically to kind of justify my interest in quilts, so that people would know, oh, she's got a art history master's, mm-hmm. and she's interested in quilts. Therefore, quilt mm-hmm. must be an art form.
Now, you took all of this passion of yours, and you also told me, you know, like you just said, you know, the great design of the quilts was so attractive to you, but you took all of this and you channeled it into a television series. Tell me about your series. You had more than one, I think.
Yeah, that developed purely because I wanted to see more and show more. Although I'm yapping here, I am a bit of an introvert, and I don't really like the spotlight on me. So although I did begin making some quilts, it was more or less to see quilts that I did make them. I wanted to see students' quilts, and, you know, they weren't that exciting.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's because I wasn't a great teacher.
No.
So I organized an exhibition that I got an NEA grant for to show quilts that were made in Ohio in 1974 and 75 is when we were looking. It was called Ohio Patchwork 76, specifically so I could see who the other quilt makers in my area were that were making contemporary quilts. And I was so blown away because Nancy Crow showed three quilts, Francois Barnes, and about five other contemporary people, some of whom, unfortunately, aren't even with us today. Mm-hmm. And as I sat in the gallery looking at those quilts, we had it at BG at the art gallery, I just said, this is what gives me pleasure, is looking at other people's fabulous quilts. It's not in looking at mine, and it's not about the technique. It's about seeing what other people do and showing it to other people. So that's why the quilt TV series developed, because we do have a great PBS station, and not knowing anything, I just out of the blue proposed a series.
Just jumped in.
And they said, yes, let's do it. And sometimes you just have to go for it, but I was scared to death. Again, introvert in front of TV camera, you can imagine.
Well, I watched the Great American Quilt series. That's the one that was on.
Yeah, that was like in the 91, 92. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was fun, too. The same kind. The earlier series was in 81. Mm-hmm. Great American Quilt was in 91. And again, the fun of it for me was showing gorgeous quilts. I would just get a thrill because they put them to music, and it would just soar, and I was just thrilled to see the quilts.
Now, with all of that experience, is there like one thing that sort of stands out for you with all those TV shows? Do you have like maybe a person you got to meet or an experience you got to have because you were doing this? That's sort of a landmark series, that Great American Quilt series.
Yeah, because I wasn't really showing so much what I made, I had to contact other people, and I would call people up out of the blue and introduce myself and tell them what I wanted. And so I got then to go to New York. By then, I was also, I had a job. I was the art curator at Owens Corning Fiberglass for their corporate art collection. So I did get to fly to New York sometimes. And I met Jonathan Holstein and got to know him. And it was, it was fabulous because that was the book that I pored over, and I never, ever thought that I would ever get to know him, much less be a friend. And the same with Nancy Crow. I mean, interviewing, it was wonderful being able to call up people and interview them. Well, that's what you do, so I'm not telling you don't know.
I know. I love it, too. I really do. I mean, I like to talk to people and hear their stories. And
That's from your emails. You kind of had me at the first email because you're so friendly. And once in a while, I almost did a spit take in reading one of your emails with my mouth full of tea.
Yeah, that's come with warnings sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it should.
And I have to tell everybody, I mean, Penny and I just sort of had this instant connection. It was kind of funny, and maybe because we really like doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you have a great sense of humor, and I love that about you. And then we got to meet at Quilt Market.
Yes.
And I had a little biking accident, and so I had a neck brace and a mouth retainer on. So
yeah, Penny thought she could hide from me at the show. She's like, you know, you might notice me. I'm like, oh, yes, well, yeah, the woman with the neck brace, yes.
Right.
Not easy to hide. But you're all better now, so that's
I'm
good.
All better now, yeah.
So at some point, you know, this journey, and you're really a storyteller, an interviewer, you know, a production manager, a curator, you know, you're also a judge. But at mm-hmm. some point, electronics came into your life, you know, technology, and, you know, how did that happen? How did Electric Quilt happen?
It was really my husband. He and I were getting together in the early 1980s, and he was a math professor. Mm-hmm. And he liked being with me, and I liked being with him. And so we would go to shows. We went to, you know, that 82 NQA show, and we always went to Quilt National. And we he took great interest in the quilts themselves, and part of it was they're very mathematical in their layout. There's a regularity mm-hmm. often, or yeah. not.
Right,
and
right.
He really got the idea that if quilters, these things were so creative, he was kind of blown away, because he's mm-hmm. also interested in art. And his idea was that if quilters could really see what they were thinking and imagining for a mm-hmm. quilt on the screen, and make changes to it, and mm-hmm. make more changes to it, that it would boost their creativity. And so, although I'm often seen as the power behind mm-hmm. the throne, I'm not. Mm-hmm. today I do tech support. I used to help with write the manuals and stuff, but the program itself is my husband's creation, Dean Newman, and he... has retired from the math department mm-hmm. many, many years ago. We're working on 20 years now, and he's still working and thinking up new ideas. He's currently working on ideas for embroidery with EQ7. So
cool.
You heard
well,
it
Penny,
here first.
we heard it here first. Embroidery. Mm-hmm. Listen up, everybody. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break here in a second.
Okay.
And what we're going to do, Penny, is when we come back, I want to talk a bit more. I want to talk about the Electric Quilt product, you know, what kinds of things can be done with it, what people are doing with it, and the community that's out there. So we'll be right back after this break.
Community is important.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Penny McMorris of Electric Quilt. And so, Penny, I have, you know, used technology also, but you know, I'm going to be learning electric quilt for the first time. Mm-hmm. Because when the product first came out, it didn't have the applique features because I did applique. So sure. I ended up not really using it that much. And now I'm really, really excited to start working with it. And so
well, I'm going to be your tech support person.
You are. You are. I have the best. So tell me, and for people who haven't really explored electric quilt, tell me what, just in a few words, what the product does for people.
I think in its most basic form, what it allows people to do, I heard Terry Atkinson say something about it's all about color.
Mm-hmm.
It lets them see their design on the screen. It comes with like 5,000 quilt blocks. So if they're going to make a quilt, and often beginners start out by just using the blocks in the library, they can make changes to the color. They can play with value. They can even make gradated colors. And for the first time, really make changes, many more than they could do if they were going to do graph paper and hand color in. And then they can play with borders, play with sashes. It can be as easy, the quilt can be as easy or as complicated as the designer wants. But I think color is what a lot of quilters feel that they lack confidence. And using the program for years and years and years really, really does make a difference. I've seen it in
seeing people's works change.
Yeah, I really have seen it, and I've seen a growing sophistication in our users whose work I see repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. You know, I was scanning. You have a place for people to share their quilts, and so I was scanning through there and looking at them. It's really fun. People can go to electricquilt.com and cruise around. Now, one of the things, we had a comment left. I think Dixie left this comment that, you know, and a few other people had told me too that, you know, this is software, and a lot of people aren't used to using software. I have a computer background, so I know what sort of how some stuff is supposed to work.
Sure.
And, you know, people who aren't used to using a software system like this, are there shortcuts to get them going? Because I hear them say, oh, you know, there's so much. You know, it's a big powerhouse. But they, you know, how can they get going and learning and comfy?
Yeah, there are a couple shortcuts. First, the program comes with lessons that are actually on the CD itself. So you can print them out, have them next to you, and work through the lessons. And those lessons are meant to be really basic. When we write for someone that really doesn't use a computer. That's our thought, each and every step. And then we know from past questions, people want to know how to do a Bargello. They want to know how to do a quilt label. They want to know how to put different sizes of blocks in the same quilt. So a lot of those, people don't often know this, our office help, how do I, we've stepped out definite things that people want to do, like turning a block into a quilt layout or adding shades and tints of a color. Those steps are all there. And then the last thing is there's me and Matt and other people who do tech support. And we know people will have questions. They have.
Right, right.
I mean, so, I would if I was using anything, any other software. You always have questions.
You do. You do. And I agree with you that doing the tutorials you provide, you've thought it out carefully and are trying to speed people up to get to using the product. So
yeah, we're not new at this rodeo.
Right.
Really do understand what helps people and what they need to know. And we try to give them all the help we can possibly give them.
Now, you have different, you know, versions of of the product. Do people need to upgrade every time? You know, how often do the versions come out? How does that basically
work?
That's
a great question. Generally, it takes Dean about 5 years between versions. And so EQ6 came out about 5 years ago. We came out with EQ7 in June of last year. I don't know that there'll be an EQ8. He's working on other things that will work with EQ7. People, it's not like people need to upgrade. It's always that we've taken into consideration all the user feedback. We've tried to make every successive program easier. So, and we give them a really big discount as a means of saying, hey, thanks for owning EQ6, and you don't need to pay as much as if you were buying the program for the very first time. So it's something that is available if they want to take advantage of it. And it is a separate program. They would still have their earlier versions.
Oh, okay.
And with EQ6, they don't even, I mean, with EQ7, they don't even need to have EQ6 installed. All they need are those numbers from EQ6.
Ah, okay. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And, of course, people can always email or call you guys, too, so if they have real specific questions.
Totally, and we're never too busy that we can that we can't spend some time helping people. People imagine that maybe we're inundated with questions. We're not. You haven't heard the phone ring since I've been talking to you.
Now, you know, besides being able to play with your quilts and build blocks, I mean, I know I've talked to people who say they, you know, they quilt virtually now because they basically play with their EQ and their electric quilt and they build all kinds of quilts in there. They get a lot of satisfaction out of that. Do you hear that from your customers and your community?
We also hear it's becoming more and more of a professional tool. Some of the fabric companies are requesting that people send in virtual quilts because you can import your own scanned fabrics, or in the fabric company's case, they would send the fabric to the designer.
Yeah.
And then they can export out an image of their quilt in high resolution in the file type that's often requested. It might be a TIFF file or a JPEG file. And that image can be used by the book or the fabric manufacturer as a sales sheet or in a magazine. So we've really had fun seeing a lot of our designers appear in magazines. And this is like the past, 3-4 years especially.
Oh, that's really cool. So now tell me about the community around Electric Quilt, you know, because you have all kinds of stuff online at your site. What can people do there?
To me, the community is key, not only for them, but for me, as that's what I like. So I write the newsletter. I've always been interested in corresponding, and that's why I do tech support. I like the one-on-one. So on the site, we have a forum where people can ask questions. We have We actually have a new site also called My EQ Boutique, mm-hmm. where people can download free software that is a pattern printer and then download downloadable patterns for some of them. We have a couple free ones, but a lot of them are by designers like Karen Stone and Judy Martin mm-hmm. and Marcia McCloskey. So that's My EQ Boutique, and so there's a growing community around that. We also have mm-hmm. a blog, and we Facebook and do all that. We do not Twitter. I think too old to Twitter. Yeah. I think that would make me just nervous. Too much information.
Well, Twitter's interesting. Someday I'll talk to you about Twitter, you know?
Oh, you will. Yeah.
Yes.
I will look forward to that.
Now, I really like the, you know, we touched on the fact that you can import the fabric, and that's what's so exciting to me when I'm going to use this now, because I also design piece quilts, but I design so many applique quilts, and now mm-hmm. you have the features that I can draw my applique shapes. And like I told you, I use this ancient software from, mm-hmm. you know, 12 years ago that nobody even makes anymore. So, you know, I have to upgrade my skills now, and I'm going to use your product to do that. So I'm really excited about being able to pull that fabric in. Is it easy to do for those who haven't done it yet, like me?
It is really easy to do. The steps are in the user manual. But again, if you've got any questions, you can call us one thing, or call moi, and yeah. I will help you. One thing about EQ7 is you can import the fabric onto the image work table, and you can crop it right in EQ7 without mm-hmm. needing to have an intermediary photo program. And mm-hmm. if you've got a stripe, for example, and it's a little mm-hmm. crooked because you laid it on the scanner a little crooked, which mm-hmm. is not hard to do, you can even mm-hmm. straighten it right in EQ7.
Oh.
And then save it as a fabric that you want to use. And there's a library space. You can build up your own library of your own fabric scans. So to use again and again, that's fun.
That's really exciting. You know, I think that, like you said, people want that color and, you know, be inspired. And it's easier for me to work with something that looks like real fabric rather than just color blocks of blue.
Me too. I like the fabric. Just adds a dimension that solid colors are great, but then mm-hmm. it begins to look Amish or something.
Well, and particularly for those of us who work with prints all the time, you know,
yeah.
it's a totally different animal when you put a print in there that has multiple colors in it. So let's see, what is coming, what is the hot place on Electric Quilt? We have, you know, about like, you know, half a minute. What's the hot spot people always go to when they come to your website?
I don't know. I think they
favorite place?
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't get asked about that. So it's like you're asking, you would need to talk to the web designers. I can ask you the most common question, which are
yep.
installation and activation, but I don't know what plays on our website.
That's okay, Penny. This has been awesome to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm honored.
I will talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye, Pat.
Bye-bye. Thanks for being with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. See you next week.
As well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to